There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Developing Dynamic Faith.
Years ago, a man by the name of Walter invited his friend Arthur to take a drive out into the country with him. And so they left Los Angeles and they went about 40 miles or so out into the country. And Walter began to show his friend all of the land that was there and how he had dreamed of purchasing this land and shared with him some of his ideas for development. And Arthur looked at the land. He saw some of the old disheveled shacks that were on the property. He saw the farm around. And he just didn't really see a lot of potential, really, in this particular investment opportunity. And despite all of Walter's plans, finally, his friend, a radio and TV host by the name of Art Linkletter, said, "You know, I just don't see the potential in this, and I'm really not interested in making the investment with you." And so he told his friend, Walt Disney, he said, "I'm just not going to get involved in this project with you." Well, that barren wasteland in Anaheim is now worth multi-billions of dollars. And many times since then, Art Linkletter said, "I wish I would have invested in that property with Walt Disney." Well, you know, God is constantly giving us opportunities and experiences that will give us the ever-expanding blessings of the faithfulness of God. Give us opportunity to partner with Him, giving us opportunity to join with Him in doing great and mighty works. And every one of us will need faith in order to grow, in order to be involved in the work of God. There may be some things in your life right now regarding seeing friends accept Christ as Savior, or some need in your family, or some particular challenge you're facing. It's going to take dynamic faith in order to enter in with God and see these things accomplished for His glory. Now, some people, when they have a challenge like this or some other challenge in their life, They can take the attitude that sometimes Linus would take as he talked to old Charlie Brown. And I read years ago a time when Linus looked at Charlie Brown. He said, "Charlie," he said, "I have a definite philosophy of life." He said, "My philosophy is this." He said, "There is no problem so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from." And that's how a lot of people face challenges, you know. If it's just too big, hey, you can always run. But I believe today, while there are many Christians who have gone AWOL, while there are many undercover Christians who just can't seem to be found anymore serving God, I believe it's time for some faith-filled, courageous Christians to step up to the plate and swing for God. I believe it's time to express dynamic faith in this day in which we live. And I pray that when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, that the members of this church will not have regret for having not lived out the kind of faith the Bible really talks about. Well, we're going to learn about it this morning. I hope your heart is ready. I want you to notice, first of all, in our outline, the definition of dynamic faith. Let's kind of understand, what is the Bible talking about when we read that word faith? We see in the text that there are many different kinds of faith mentioned. For example, you'll notice in James 2, verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Or can that kind of faith save him? "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Now, the first type of faith I want you to note is that there is, according to the Bible, what is called dead faith. It is a faith that is without dynamic. It is without works. It is a dead faith. This is a faith that is assuming an identity. It is a faith that might even talk about God or act religious, but when the rubber meets the road, it's just not a working faith. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 7:22. He said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name we have done wonderful works." Matthew 7:23. "And when I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus said there will come a day at the day of judgment when people will say to him, "Lord, we were religious. We cast out devils. We did a lot of different things." And the Lord will say to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you." In other words, they never had a real relationship with him. They never had a life of faith that was pouring out as they put their confidence in the Word of God. Now, I believe, that might be the testimony of many sincere people. I believe. I believe in a God. I believe in gods. But the question is not, do you believe? The question is, in whom do you believe? Where is your faith placed? You see, our faith is only as good as its object. And if the object is not the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sins, then our faith is misplaced. We are not saved by putting faith in faith. We are saved by putting our faith in the revealed Word of God, which teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are people today who are living a dead kind of faith. They're acting sort of like they are religious, but their faith is not dynamic. It is not true. My wife and I were down in L.A. years ago at one of the amusement parks, and standing outside on the curb, there were all kinds of mimes and people doing different things, playing music and so forth. And as they were standing there, we walked by one particular fellow whose act was to impersonate Elvis Presley, and he had it down. He had the long sideburns. He had the hair that came out about 6 or 8 inches and came back. He was singing all those uplifting songs like "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog" and stuff like that, you know. And then when someone would put a dollar in his basket, of course he'd say, "Thank you very much, thank you very much." I mean, he had it down. Now, what was he doing? He was assuming an identity. My friend, it is possible to be religious but lost. It is possible to be a part of a religion but not have a real faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see in the Word of God that sometimes there is what is called dead faith. I mean, they have a membership in the church, but they're not stepping out and trusting God. There's no real fruit evidenced in their life. Notice the second kind of faith that James talks about. It's called demonic faith. Now, this is a little bit heavy. It goes to another level. But notice in verse 19 what he says. He says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Now, this is an intellectual kind of faith. How many of you realize this morning the demons are not atheists? The devils know there's a God. The Bible says in Matthew 8:29, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" When the demons spoke out to the Lord Jesus, they knew who he was. I get tickled sometimes with people who will tell me, "Well, you know, I want you to know, Pastor Chappell, I read the Bible, and I know a lot about the Bible, and I believe the Bible." And sometimes I have said to them, "So does the devil." Folks, we don't get brownie points just for knowing some things about the Bible. What God is looking for is living out the Bible, actively obeying the principles of His Word. There are many examples in the Bible, and I'll not take time this morning, but there is one particular man by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. I've given you the context this morning, and the verses may be in your notes. And Simon the Sorcerer, he got excited about the miracles of the apostles, and he started following after their miracles, and he even at one time made a profession of faith that he believed in Christ. But there came a point in his life where Peter said to him, he said to Simon, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Repent therefore of this wickedness." And the story unfolds to say that Simon the sorcerer followed the religious activity of the apostles, but had never truly been born again. And I say to you this morning that knowing some things about God, it's good. Even James says, that's great, wonderful that you know some things about God. But he says, in fact, in verse 19, the devils also believe and tremble. And so we see today that there is dead faith, and I see that across the country today, and you do as well. We see that there's demonic faith. Even the devils believe, but intellectual belief is not enough. Then we come, thirdly, to what we're talking about this morning. That is dynamic faith. What is dynamic faith? Verse 18, please. Notice what it says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, let's let that sink in a little bit. Let's read that verse together. Find it there, if you would, please. James chapter 2, verse 18. As a classroom together, let's read it this morning. Ready, begin. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Now, true biblical faith is dynamic, it is life-changing, and it is courageous. When we are growing in faith, we are believing God, doubt is diminishing, our faith is rising, we are trusting Him. Someone said, fear not. Faith answered, and no one was there. When you have fear in your heart, I encourage you to come to the Word of God and build your faith. So, dynamic faith. Now, these next few thoughts didn't get into your notes, but I want you to jot them down. If you want to know more about dynamic faith, I'm going to give you three characteristics right now. I think the verses are there. Three characteristics of dynamic faith. Number one, it is a scriptural faith. Dynamic faith is always born from the Word of God. How many of you understand this morning we are not talking about the power of positive thinking? We are talking about the power of biblical thinking. We are talking about letting the Word of God dawn in your heart a new faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And so a man lives by believing in something. Not by debating, not by arguing about many things. A lot of people like that. Their lives are like ping pong balls going everywhere. But when you get a hold of the Word of God, you start going forward for God. And the Word of God propels you into a life of faith. I like what B.R. Lakin used to say about preaching. He said, preaching is like the measles. It will break out all over you if you let it. I like that a lot. You know why I like that? Because God has used in my life Bible study and preaching to strengthen my faith. And when I get into the Word, then my faith is strengthened. Or you can say to someone, I'm praying that someone will get saved, or that my business will be blessed. And some people are immediately skeptical. Why? Because they've not been in the Word to the extent that you've been in the Word. When you get into the Word of God, your faith is strengthened. It is a scriptural faith. Secondly, this dynamic faith is a spoken faith. It's going to be something that you speak about. And again, I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about your faith in God will be known by those around you. Now turn, if you would, in your Bible to Mark chapter 11. I want you to see this principle firsthand today. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 20 about spoken faith, about telling out what you believe in your heart. We're looking at dynamic faith. It is a scriptural faith. It is secondly a spoken faith. Now, Mark chapter 11 and verse 20 is a story of Jesus with his disciples. And listen to this. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Let's say that together. Have faith. Now notice what he says in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now the text goes on, and it defines the issue of forgiveness in your heart, having a pure heart when you pray. And this is not about name it and claim it theology. This is not about telling God what to do, but it is about this fact. That there is a God in heaven who is looking for people who believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it is time that some Bible-believing Baptist people say, we serve a miracle-working God who can do great and mighty things. And you see, it is going to be a spoken faith. When it's real in your heart, you're going to say, I believe that my God is able to do this. Then it's not only a scriptural faith and a spoken faith, but thirdly, it will be a seen faith. When someone's faith is real, you can just see it all over them. It's kind of funny. Sometimes we watch our kids around this campus when they fall in love. They just get weird. You can just, they notice nothing else around them. You can almost hear the birds flying around their heads, you know. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? When someone falls in love, you can just see it all over them. It's just so obvious. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When someone is living a life of dynamic faith, that's a different kind of a life. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now listen, we may have "In God We Trust" on our coins, but the question is it in your heart this morning? Are you trusting in Him? Do you believe that God is able? Do you understand that without faith, it is impossible to please Him? The definition of dynamic faith is that it is a scriptural faith. It's a faith that will speak out. It's a faith that will be seen by those around us. They will say something is different in that man's life since he met Jesus Christ or since she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, America is going to hell in a handbasket because of dead faith, dead churches, Christians that have gone AWOL. It is time for some people today to put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that revival is possible and believe that His promises are true and believe that He will do according to His Word. So this is what dynamic faith is all about. Notice secondly with me this morning, now, the development of dynamic faith. Someone says, all right, I sense I need to grow in this matter you're speaking about today. How do I develop this? How can I have a faith that is stronger? As a pastor, I've noticed that it doesn't matter what we announce, there will always be a couple of different responses. There'll be those that go, how's that going to happen? There'll be those that go, yes, I'm ready. What's the difference? Why is it that some have a more developed faith? Well, I'll give you today a few ways that you can develop your faith in these upcoming months. First of all, we develop our faith by obedience to the Word of God. It sounds simple, but as I obey the Word of God, then my faith begins to grow. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So when I am working at my faith, when I am trusting God, I begin to strengthen over and over again. Joshua 24:24, the Bible says, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Now, whenever you see Christian people obeying God, you're going to see a people of strong faith. You look into the Old Testament, the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness, think of this, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, listen, 11 miles from the promised land. And over again God said, harden not your hearts, break up the fallow ground. What was the problem? The problem was they simply wouldn't obey God in the very basic things. Hence, their faith began to shrivel away. Now listen very carefully. Your faith and mine is like a muscle that can atrophy. My wife and I yesterday visited a dear member of our church, and she laid there in a hospital bed, and her muscles have atrophied. And many of you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in that situation or you visited someone who for many weeks could not get out of bed, the first thing they have to do is get into some kind of physical therapy, and they've got to start getting their muscle tone, and they've got to start working again so that they can use those muscles. Now, you show me a Christian who doesn't pray, who doesn't trust God with his finances, who doesn't trust God with his family, who doesn't believe God, who's not willing to witness. You show me a Christian who doesn't read the Word of God. Pretty soon, their faith begins to atrophy. And when we do not read the Word of God and obey the Word of God, even true faith will die if its possessors do not live in a spirit of obedience. You see, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. And we must be willing to trust God and obey Him in those areas which He reveals to us in order that by trusting Him day by day, our strength as a Christian grows and grows and grows. And oh, today, that through obedience, our faith would grow. Now, there's a second way that faith grows, if you're taking notes, and that's through testing, or some people call it trials. Now, how many of you would admit with me, Pastor Chapel, this is not the way I like my faith to grow. No one's going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, God, give me a trial this week. Let me have some testing. Maybe a pink slip, Lord. Maybe my pay will be cut. Maybe I'll lose my job entirely. Lord, whatever it takes to make me a strong Christian. Most people don't pray that. That's not our choice for school. But I say to you this morning that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. D.L. Moody often said, faith must be tested. God builds no ships that He does not intend to send out to the sea. And God is building your life, and sometimes storms will come into your life. Now, I think of many in the Bible who had tests, and those tests strengthened their faith. I think of Abraham. And Abraham answers that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want you to think about Abraham's trial. It's an unbelievable trial. And I believe the scriptures are in your notes there, and you can see it there in Genesis 22:9. And you know the story. The Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, we'll look at this a little more in depth tonight, but many of you know the story. Abraham had no son. He had prayed and prayed, and finally God said, I'm going to give to Sarah, your wife, a son. And finally, after years of waiting, Isaac was born as the promised son, the one that would bring the promise of God, the seed for the nation of Israel. What a great day that was when Isaac was born. But now the Lord says something that you and I perhaps can hardly understand. He says, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac up to the Mount Moriah. I want you to lay him down on an altar there. And I want you to sacrifice your own son as a way of telling me how much you love me. You know the story. Isaac carried the wood as a picture of Jesus Christ who carried the cross. Isaac willingly laid down on the altar as Jesus Christ voluntarily laid on the old rugged cross. And God the Father shows us in the Word that Father Abraham lifted up the knife, and at the very moment when he was willing to obey God in a sacrifice far beyond tithing, in a sacrifice we can't even comprehend, all of a sudden, as the knife is now lifted, a voice from heaven says, Abraham, Abraham. And look at what it says in verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. Look at this. For now I know that thou fearest God. Do you understand that that was a test of his faith? Do you understand that sometimes God brings tests into our life so that he can know, look it, do you love me in the good times only, or can you love me in the bad times? Do you love me only when everything's great with your health, your finance, your job, your marriage? Or can you love me when some trials are coming along? And God sometimes uses those tests to build up our faith. Integrity is keeping my commitment even when the circumstances surrounding my commitment have changed. And sometimes circumstances change. Sometimes a spouse's health will change. Sometimes your financial picture will change. But may you be faithful to your vows. May you be faithful to your God even when the circumstances change. Oh, trials will build our faith. That's why when David was before Saul, and David said, why is that giant Goliath spewing out hateful things against the God of Israel? And he said to his brother Eliab, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And you know the story. David came before Saul, and he stood there before the king of Israel, and he said to him, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know what David said? He said, Saul, I've had some trials before. He said, I had a lion come and attack me, and I had a bear come and attack me. But by God's power, I saw that lion and that bear taken away and destroyed. And he said, because of the trials that God has brought me through, I know God's going to bring me through this one too.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.